This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy? Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
From the West Coast, John's buddy, of course, from The Ringer, does a great job covering the NBA. Deep dive, Sixers heat right now with Ryan Russillo. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
What's up, Ryan? Thank you for joining us. Did you sleep?
Yeah, I got some sleep. And remember, the games are over earlier. I know you're a huge Shogun guy, so I don't want to spoiler alert.
I am a huge Shogun guy, and I appreciate non-spoiler. I cannot wait to get watching on that.
But. Ryan, it also means you're up for us at 6:30 a.m., and we appreciate that.
Yes. Yeah, very much.
All right, so, Ryan, there's like a million ways to go here, but I sort of want to start almost at the finish line because this is the question everyone's been wondering, frankly, for years now, and we'll do it again. Will this year be different for the Sixers? We'll get into the Embiid and this and that, but, like, Ryan, your outlook for the 76ers as they're about to embark on this thing, is this going to be different or same old, same old?
I think it's going to be the same. And it's really unfortunate because – you know, I've said this before, but I think all of us like Embiid. All of us want to like Embiid, you know. And we know that the different stages of the season that I don't need to repeat to the local market part of it. But when he came back, he didn't look very good physically. You know, he just looked a little thicker. He looked a little slower. He looked like he wasn't that interested in defense. And then literally like a week later after a couple of games, I was like, okay, you can already see a dramatic improvement, you know, just getting that conditioning back.
Sure.
And it's just tougher for a bigger guy, especially with that kind of injury. And so I'm like, this is amazing. He's putting up huge numbers. He already physically looks like a much improved version of himself just in a matter of days. And then the Orlando game, like, how can anybody go, no, I'm in. Like, it's going to happen with those guys. And here's the thing. Like, I think if they get tonight, which they should, and I know everybody's kind of scared of Miami and has, like, heat PTSD from last year, but they're not as good, even though last year statistically, like, they almost still didn't even make it out of the play-in game. I would think that they get them tonight, and then it's a 7-2 against the Knicks, who probably became the 2 seed because everybody else was messed up. Like, this was a really weird drive the final line for all these teams in the East. So, okay, you get Miami.
His phone just zapped out.
You get Miami.
We lost you there for a second, Ryan.
Ryan, go ahead. I'm sorry. We heard you say you get Miami, and then bang! You were going like Soze. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, like this is part of the thing of, like, what is it really? Does it mean that you've improved dramatically as a team because you beat Miami? Maybe you get to the Knicks, and it's like, okay, cool. And who knows? I mean, Milwaukee could be a mess. They might not have Giannis, like that whole thing. I just don't really know that the prospects are that different for this team because it's just hard to bank the Embiid that we saw in that Orlando game, even with this extra time off.
So Joel Embiid is healthier than he's been at any point in his career at this stage of the season, and now – Nick Nurse is included in the equation. How much better does Nick Nurse make Joel Embiid, Ryan?
Well, Nick is awesome, okay? And I think you've probably seen that firsthand, that he's just far more creative than a lot of guys. You know, for years, I think other teams had talked about him in Toronto being like, they kind of treat games like football more so than basketball and that. It's like, okay, let's try to be specific to the opponent. It's just hard to do that with 82 of these. But you're also going up against the best coach in the NBA. in the Miami game. So,
yeah.
Look, it's
so
up
how
to
does
Joel.
It compare?
Like, Joel's going to have his, if he's healthy, like he's going to have his 30 and 15 and his 7 and his free throws, and he's going to be dominant. And, like, you know, we'll talk about some of these guys in matchups. It's like, oh, wow, this guard is really good defensively against this player. And then it's like that player ended up with 30 because they screened the guy off him the entire time. Like, we already know what to pencil Embiid in for. It's just going to be those closing moments of, you know, how is it set up? Do they find a way to get him to the free throw and open? You know, once he has that free throw catch, it's just such an easier thing for him. Like, it's a layup. But it just seems to be harder to set it up there when everybody knows exactly where he wants to be. He's on the side. I think that's what he can get in some trouble because they run these doubles at him, and it's up to everybody else to make a shot around him.
Ryan, we had a poll result earlier this week and a poll question on, and it was phrased this way, all things considered, who would you rather have for the game, Jimmy Butler or Joel Embiid? What would be your answer for this game tonight?
I feel like I'm going to regret this just because, like, Butler has looked about as disinterested as I've ever seen him. And then, you know, we saw what he did against Milwaukee, where those are like Jordan-esque type numbers in that series. And then Boston games 1 and 2 really kind of decided that series, even though Boston came back to tie it up. I'd rather be Joel, even with the injury thing, just because of the ceiling part of it. Miami is really messed up offensively, and they're especially messed up late. Like, they haven't shown me anything in a couple weeks here where I go, oh, all right, well, that's the thing that you can bank on. Like, Butler tried to get a couple switches against Kyrie against Dallas and didn't work. And he's like, all right, whatever, I'm out of here. And, like, didn't take another shot to close that game. I think with, like, 6 minutes left. If Rozier is in, you know, he can create a little bit on his own. Hero can create. But there's just not a real continuity to them offensively. And so the Butler part of it, like, I just get sick of watching him for 6 months and then having everybody be like, oh, look out for playoff Jimmy, like he's a top five guy. Like, he even fell off a bit last postseason run after an absurd start to the whole thing. So I think Embiid's ceiling makes him the choice.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Ryan Russillo with us here. Ryan, let me ask you this question. The Joel thing, one of the things we've wondered for years is why he doesn't answer the bell at times. I mean, sometimes it's easy to say he's injured. But there are times like game 4 versus Toronto in 2019, his stomach aches. Game 7 last year versus Boston. I mean, you could see it in the first quarter. You could see it on his face that he wasn't in it. Why do you think that happens to him?
He is, first of all, I agree with you on some of this, that I think it looks a little different. But I think when you look at the league and how they prioritized players and positions, and there's even like a little bit of a Wembanyama thing here where it's like, okay, but is Wembanyama like game 7 of the Western Conference Finals? Like, are you running high screen, like pick and roll with Wembanyama to get him in his offense? And like, maybe you are, and that's how special he's going to be. I think for Embiid, there still needs to be like a bit of a setup to get him into what he wants to get into. And like, I've already mentioned it, like, you just know that there's a different effectiveness when it's like that catch at the free throw and he's dribbling and like, it's like, okay, I don't know what to do. And if you send a double, like, I think he just operates a little bit better there, where there are moments where he still is like a traditional big, and he isn't because we understand how incredibly talented he is. But I think there's just times where he needs to be set up to operate offensively more so than a Jokic does, more so than Luka, certainly, who's probably the best guy in the league at getting into his office, more than SGA, more than even Giannis, who just, you know, it's not so much the most elite skill, it's just at this athleticism that's at another level. So I don't know if it's a personality thing, because I don't know him. I'm not around the team. But I do think that he needs to be, like, his starting point needs some assistance because he's still a center. And I think that's what's happened to centers in the league.
Ryan, How much better is the rest of this Sixers team that's in place around Joel compared to previous years' postseason assemblages, you know, with Kyle Lowry now and Kelly Oubre and Buddy Hield? How much better are the rest of the Sixers, comparatively speaking?
It's funny. They've got some guys that haven't always been my favorite guys to watch. And boy, do they have a lot of them.
I'm guessing Kelly Oubre is definitely one of those dudes.
Oubre hasn't always been my favorite guy, I'll admit. But he's been incredible. Like, it, you know, at some point, there's
better
guys that are like, all
right. Right?
Cool. Yeah, like, I'll go cool month. You know, but this can't hold. And, you know, Oubre's still, like, not that old. And, you know, he's putting up almost 20 a game here, like, the last couple months. And they've needed it. You know, so I think there maybe could be an argument of, like, hey, when Embiid was out, like, this team was not. So what are we actually talking about here? I mean, this is outside that the fact that Maxey has, for me at least, entered this territory of, like, hey, I need, like, a big-time shot. Can you give me some kind of look out of nothing? Can everything be a mess and you find a way to fix it? And I think Maxey's actually already one of those guys, and obviously scoring a factor. Campaign looks like he wants to celebrate a three that cuts the lead to 9 in the second quarter.
Oh, man.
And I think Kyle Lowry should be banned.
Wow.
Banned?
Your phone just...
Banned from the league.
No,
yeah.
Why is that? Your phone zapped out. All right, so banned why?
Well, I mean, there's plays where there's no chance what's happening is actually what's happening. And back to the ref, I think the refs grandfathered him in on some of these calls.
Look, so, we'll take him here in Philly for the next 2 months.
They'll still give us the calls in the postseason. This is great.
Yeah, if he can coax it out of a ref, I'm not complaining for 2 months. Plus, this is Philadelphia's own. Kyle Lowry, Ryan. This is not the spot.
So you loved it when he did it with the Heat all those years.
I respected it. I didn't love it. I respect.
No,
all right, Ryan. Who wins the title? And is this Boston and Denver in the title? Who wins this thing?
Yeah, I'm going to pick Denver over. I just think the rest of the East is too hard to figure out. You know, Boston's this weird team because statistically their profile is like, hey, that team wins a title, and yet. I think some of the criticisms are fair about some of the closing stuff and the habits they can get into, but there's still some really good numbers in there as well. When I've watched Denver and Boston, and I know Boston could have won the game in Denver with Tatum hitting that three, but like I just didn't think Boston played that well. And I think this game is kind of simple in that when it's tight and it's the playoffs and everything's junked up and everybody knows what you're doing, can you find a way offensively to get a decent look? And Jokic... And I would say Doncic do that better than anybody in the league. And I like Denver's team. And I felt like when I watched those two matchups with Boston, that's really what it was. I was like, all right, so last couple minutes, like, we're going to get better looks than you are because we have Jokic. And I think that's separation that's hard for Boston to close. I mean, granted, look, sports. So they're not, like, drastically better than them.
Yep.
But I think that part's significant. And it feels a little cocky, but that's how I feel.
All right, from The Ringer, of course, the podcast with The Ringer, and just a tremendous career, Ryan Russillo. Ryan, we appreciate you jumping on the program today. Thanks, buddy.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks,
all right, there
Ryan.
He is.
The greatest.